of Jesus' life, I wonder on this day, why was he killed? And why does it matter that God raised him from the dead? It's been said that Jesus came to change our minds about God, not to change God's mind about us, not to convince God that God should love us or forgive us. God already loved us. That's why he sent Jesus. And God had been forgiving people since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and his wives and his sons. Long before God gave the law to Moses, before the Levites began offering sacrifices, before organized religion gave us scripture and structure, Jesus' mission was to further our understanding of who God is, to transform our thinking about the very nature of God, using those same scriptures and reinterpreting those religious structures to more fully reveal the love, mercy, and faithfulness of God. And I have to say that for me, this is still a process. My mind is still being changed. It's an ongoing journey to accept God's love for me and how that love can help me live into the person that I'm becoming, not hiding who I am from God or even from you all, but to trust that God cherishes me as a beloved daughter and desires me to grow into that identity of freedom and creativity. But I think today's opening scripture takes us even further. Jesus came to change our minds about God, but also to lay the groundwork for the Holy Spirit to change our minds about each other. In this first passage from Acts 10, Peter finds himself speaking to a bunch of Romans. Peter, who ran to the tomb when the women said that Jesus' body was missing. Peter, who was a faithful follower of God, who went to synagogue every Saturday, listened to scripture, and recognized Jesus as the anointed one. Peter learned a lot in the 3 years he walked with Jesus. He was part of the inner circle. He was part of the three best friends. He was there when Jesus raised the little girl from the dead, and he was there at the transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. Peter is the one that Jesus left in charge after he ascended to heaven to be with the Father. But after all that time with Jesus, in person, in the flesh, and now being in charge, Peter says that he is still learning about God. And so here is what he says, if Julian would read.
I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus the Messiah. He is Lord of all.
No partiality. People from every nation. A message of peace through the chosen nation of Israel. Learning. I happen to know that many of you are dedicated lifetime learners. You keep taking classes, keep reading books, keep seeking out new experiences of learning. And we bring that same hunger for learning to our experience with God. Keep teaching us. Keep revealing truth to us through scripture and creation and through each other. So what did Jesus come to teach us about God? How do our minds still need to be changed? Like Peter, we already know a lot about God. We observe creation, we read the Bible, we've been taught interpretations of what those scriptures mean. And for many of us, religion has provided a structure of right and wrong and rules to follow that have grounded us and guided us and also tripped us up and caused us to stumble at times. But like Peter and many a faithful follower of Jesus, the rules of religion can so easily become a substitute for actually knowing God and seeking God and how God might be teaching us something new. Jesus spent his life reinterpreting scripture and modeling a relationship with God Over and over, Jesus said, the rules are here to help us. The structure is here to serve people. He healed and fed and forgave sins in order to show us how to live lives of healing and feeding and forgiving. And to tell us that he did all those things because that is the work of the Father. He saw what God was doing and partnered in that work. And I wonder, do we also see God healing and feeding and forgiving in the world? Are we part of that work as well? And following in the tradition of Moses and David and the prophets, Jesus exemplified that God is about relationship. Jesus was the first one to know God so well and trust God absolutely that he could be completely faithful to living out God's character in the world, even knowing that we would predictably try to snuff out that unbearable goodness, which gave God an opportunity to change our minds about death as well, about who has the power over life, and to showcase God's faithfulness to humanity. God chose Jesus as the model for the relationship God wants to have with each of us. Are our minds changed? Do we know and trust God so completely that we believe that God wants the best in our lives to transform our traumas and tragedies into a goodness that we can't imagine? I keep working on this. I think it's hard to believe that God loves us that much, that God's love of us and forgiveness of us and mercy toward us surpasses all human abilities to love and forgive and be merciful. Ours is just an imitation. So Peter saw and heard everything that Jesus did. What did he still need to learn? He had scripture, he had structure, he had the experience of learning how to reinterpret from the very mouth of Jesus. But while he's waiting for lunch one day, he goes up to the roof to pray and has an experience that confounds him. He sees a vision of all the unkosher animals that he has avoided pretty easily his entire life as an observant Jew following the Torah. These are animals that none of his relatives ate, none of his friends, including Jesus and all the other disciples. They're unclean. And that's when the voice from heaven commands him to do what seemed unthinkable.
A voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter exclaimed, "Absolutely not, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke a second time, "Never consider unclean what God has made pure." This happened three times, then the object was suddenly pulled back into heaven. Peter was bewildered about the meaning of the vision. Just then, the messengers sent by Cornelius discovered the whereabouts of Simon's house and arrived at the gate.
In all the years of Peter's learning from Jesus, it was actually never clear to him that Jesus also came to change the Gentiles' minds about God. He was born the King of the Jews. Jesus said he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when people all over the world received the Spirit at Pentecost, they were all Jews, all coming to Jerusalem for a festival. It was exciting, but they had no idea that we were also going to be included. God is the one who makes us pure. All of us who ourselves are rather wild and unkosher animals, no matter how we might see each other, God is the one full of mercy and love and forgiveness. And therefore, we can't call one another unclean. And like Peter, we're still learning that. We're still learning that God does not play favorites, as Eugene Peterson interprets it. We're learning that it doesn't make a difference where we're from, our gender, our race, our nationality, our culture, our age, our whatever you want to fill in the blank here. If we want to be with God, God wants to be with us. God is speaking to whomever wants to listen. God is acting and wants any and all of us to get on board and work together towards God's kingdom, like Jesus did in his life, so faithfully that God wanted to give that life right back to him to continue on and on. Why do our minds need to be changed about the nature of God and our understanding of each other? I think because without this new understanding, the commandments on which all the law and the prophets are based are impossible. They don't make any sense. I can't fulfill the greatest commandments using my old understanding of who God is and who neighbor is. So let's remind ourselves of that commandment.
Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands."
How can we love God with our whole selves if we think that God is a guy who is less loving, less forgiving, and less merciful than we are? A God who keeps people out of heaven when we would let them in? How can we love God with our whole selves if we think God is a guy of rules and regulations that prohibit freedom and happiness? And how can we love our neighbors as ourselves when we see them as other, unholy, not of our tribe? It is only by continually learning, continuing to let our minds be changed about our understanding of God and our understanding of each other, that we can really live into the call to love God with our whole selves and our neighbor as ourselves. And I think for all of us, this is an ongoing challenge. Do we really believe that God loves us more than our parents, our partners, our friends who regularly forgive all of our shortcomings? Do we believe that God's faithfulness surpasses all the traumas and losses we face, and that God will carry us through? And can we step forward, even tentatively, into this hope that God is all the things that Jesus modeled as a relationship with, as he said to Mary Magdalene, "My Father and your Father, my God and your God." Today, as every Sunday, we have an opportunity to share in communion, to take this learning to the table and allow our minds and our hearts to be changed. It is, of course, an echo of the Passover meal that Jesus ate with his disciples, a reminder of suffering and death, of love and sacrifice and eventual resurrection. With a God who is about making new covenants, more promises, more life, more love, which is what Jesus was trying to tell us, and why the Holy Spirit came to teach us, so we too could keep on learning about God and about each other. Everyone is welcome at the table to share in this feast and the taste that is to come. Whether it is your first time, or you join in every week, or even if you haven't been there in a long time, Jesus invites you to the table. Amen.